I'd like to read just a quick verse of John chapter 19. And that verse is our memory verse for this week. It says, "And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Father, we thank you, Lord, that you could utter those words for us. "It is finished." Thank you, Lord, that you were not finished yourself, but finished with the work that you have come to do. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation you offer for every person that simply calls upon you. In the next few minutes, Lord, help us to recognize what those words truly meant and how they apply to us. Thank you, Lord, for saying "it is finished." Lord, we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Greeks had a tremendous way or a tremendous thought about expressing so much with so little. They wanted to give you an ocean full of truth with just a few drops of words. And really, that's probably the best said about Jesus as he's on the cross speaking to the things that he was accomplishing in that time. Those seven sayings, really, the sixth saying really kind of points to that very idea. He said, "It is finished." It is three words in the English language, but one word in the Greek, tetelestai. And really, to get the understanding or see what that word means, we really need to go back and see how it's used in the day in which Jesus walked. And so that word was a unique word that really was spoken by so many people. It was a servant's word. When the servant was doing the bidding of his master, the master sent him on a task, he would come back after completing the task fully. Instead of saying, "I've done this task that you have asked me to do," he would simply say the word, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Let me remind you that Christ came to finish the work that God gave him. John chapter 17, verse 4 says this, speaking from Christ to the Father. He says, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." The suffering servant said, "The work that you gave me, Father, was finished." He said, "Tetelestai." Not only was a servant's word, but it was a sculptor's word in Jesus' day. The sculptors or the artificians, those guys that made these great masterpieces, would work and work and work, sometimes for years. But when they finished that last stroke or that last chisel mark, when they looked back at the masterpiece they had completed, they would say, "Tetelestai, a masterpiece." And so we recognize what Christ has done for us on the cross, that we are his workmanship, that through the pain and suffering and denying that Christ would do on the cross, he could look at us and say, "Tetelestai, our masterpiece that he has worked through us." It was a sanctified priest word in those days when the priest was called to do many things, but one of those, especially on Passover, was to look at the lambs that were brought in for slaughter for the Passover, and they would examine these lambs and make sure there was nothing wrong with them. They had to be without blemish. They had to be perfect. And so they would look at their feet. They would look at their eyelids. They would look in their ears. They would even look in their mouths. They would stroke the fur. They would make sure that this lamb that would be sacrificed was perfect. And instead of saying, "This lamb is acceptable and perfect in the sight of me," he would say, "Tetelestai." I'm reminded what John would say about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29. He says these words, "The next day John sees Jesus coming in, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world.'" We recognize that Jesus was that perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, and he would say, "Tetelestai, it is finished. I am complete." It was also a shopkeeper's word. Not just a servant and a sculptor and a sanctified priest, but the merchant would use these words in a business transaction when there was a debt to be paid. When the final payment was made, the shopkeeper would take and stamp "not paid in full" as we would, but "tetelestai." We recognize what Jesus was saying on the cross, that the sin debt of the world was paid. It was finished. I'm reminded of my sin debt in Romans chapter 6. It's, "For the wages of sin is death." Christ on that cross paid for my sin debt and yours. I'm reminded also what it says in the book of Galatians, that Christ has redeemed us or paid for us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Curses everyone that hangs on a tree." 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Christ, looking out on the world that was around him, looking at sinful man, recognized that he was paying the debt. He would say, "It is finished," or "tetelestai." But lastly, the word was used by soldiers. Dr. Adrian Rogers, one of my favorite preachers of the past, would speak about this and how the soldier would use these words. When the general was sent out to conquer a city, he would go far and wide, and we finally got to the city and conquered it completely. He didn't send back word, "We have done your bidding, master. We have conquered completely the city." He just simply said, "Tetelestai, it is finished. The job, the city is conquered." I'm reminded of what Christ did for us, that Christ conquered our sin and death. Christ conquered our penalty of sin. Paul writes a little bit later on in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul also writes in Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Why? Because Christ said, "It is finished." To tell us that Christ has beat the greatest enemy of all for us, the enemy of sin and death. And what's so great about that is that Christ invites us to that finished work. Christ invites us to follow him. Christ invites us to receive what he has done. As he says, "Tetelestai," we just should accept and follow him. How can we do that? John 3:16, we know it so well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans chapter 10, "If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." For verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." What does it mean to believe? John 14, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." When Christ says that, he is not saying just know or understand there is a God or understand there is a Christ, but to trust in that, to fall into that, to let them bear you, for you to place your life in their hands. Let me close with a great story about Charles Blondin. He became famous in 1859. You've heard the story before, but let me tell it again, maybe a new light. Charles Blondin, coming to the United States, he was a Frenchman in 1858, sees the Niagara Falls and had this great idea. He comes back in 1859 and stretches a tightrope across those falls, 160 feet above the water. You can just imagine the roaring sound of Niagara Falls all around him. He takes a tightrope walker and just walks himself across that a quarter mile from the United States to Canada. There was crowds that had gathered on both sides and just cheered him on. Now, he didn't do it just one time, but through the years, he did it 300 plus times. One time he did it in a sack. One time he did it on a bicycle. One time he did it on stilts. One time he even took a stove and cooked an omelet in the middle of that rope. He did it over and over again. Probably the most famous time is when he walked backwards from the United States to Canada and then put a blindfold on and took a wheelbarrow and rolled it back across. And if I understand correctly, he did that several times by putting some sacks of flour in there just to show that he could put something heavy in there and rolled it back and forth. And then when he finally got back to the United States side, he said, "Does everyone believe I could carry a person across there?" And they all oohed and said, "Yes, we do." And then he asked that great question, "Do I have a volunteer to get in?" Now you're thinking, I would not either, amen? I would not. How does this apply? Because we're all on a tightrope in life. We're all headed over those falls, you may say. And let me give you a clue. There's only one that has ever done it, Christ Jesus. Time and time and time again, he has carried people from this place to his place. Time and time again, he's the only one. And so today, I'm going to tell you, you have a choice to make. You walk that tightrope, which will fail, or get into the wheelbarrow of Christ and let him push you where we all long to be. Christ is calling. I wonder, will you say yes to the words that he speaks to us? Will you embrace that idea that it is finished? Will you receive Christ as Lord and Savior? I'm going to ask you to bow your head quickly just for a moment and think about your life. Remember what he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Maybe you're here today and never realize what Christ has done. Maybe you've never placed your faith in Christ. Maybe you've never realized you're in this tightrope walk of life that will end in destruction unless you climb on to Christ to get in his wheelbarrow. Maybe you're here this morning and recognize that for the first time. Why not, in this time of invitation, just get out of a chair, walk forward, and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. Or make a public profession that you have by walking forward. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe you're in that wheelbarrow of Christ, but you're hanging off the sides much more than you should. Why not recommit and get centered back up? Why not live that example for others? If God's calling this morning to get in, if God's calling you to get aboard, why not? Why not follow him? Father, we thank you, Lord, for those words that it is finished. That did not mean that you were finished, but you were finished with the work that you've come to complete. Even though the scribes and Pharisees may have laughed at the Roman soldiers, you recognize there's victory in that death, burial, and resurrection. So, Lord, today, help us to open our eyes and see those very things. Help us to see what that word truly means for us, that we can trust in the finished work of Christ, that we can climb in. Lord, if there's anyone here, give them the strength, give them the courage to walk forward. If there's anyone here, give them the desire to say yes to you. Let the invitation be something that honors you in all things. Help us now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.